الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Viewers of Madani Channel, there are many excellences, fada'il of reciting Salat ala Nabi or Durood Sharif as it is known amongst the Muslims of the subcontinent. In one hadith which is found in Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حَيْثُمَا كُنْتُمْ فَصَلُّوا عَلَيَّ. Wherever you are, recite Salat upon me. فَإِنَّ صَلَاتَكُمْ تَبْلُغُنِي. For indeed your recitation of Salat reaches me. Now what is Salat ala Nabi? It's simply reciting اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. These words, these phrases are known as Salat ala Nabi or Durood Sharif. And in this hadith we're told by the best of creation صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, wherever you are, you could be in this country, another country, another continent, wherever you are, remember the beloved by reciting Salat upon him. Why? For indeed your recitation of Salat reaches the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet alaihi wasallam said, it reaches me, tablughuni. So with that in mind, this should increase our jazba, our passion to recite Salat ala Nabi. Why? Because we know the Prophet alaihi wasallam is aware of this. And this recitation of Salat ala Nabi indeed reaches him. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to recite Salat ala Nabi in abundance. Ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. From the entire creation, the billions that have passed by, the billions that will come until Qiyamah, Allah knows best their number. But out of all of creation, Allah Ta'ala chose these 124,000 approximately Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'een to accompany his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a great honor, such a great virtue. As I said, the Sahaba were the first to embrace Islam. They accepted the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were the first to say labbaik to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They saw the blessed face of Rasulullah alayhi salam. They witnessed his miracles, subhanallah. These are those personalities who are the most superior from the entire ummah. Meaning, me, you, or anyone else for that matter, could worship day and night. We could carry out great acts of worship, many virtuous actions, but we could never ever reach the rank of the Sahaba. Why is that? Because they spent time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their virtues have been mentioned in the Quran. The excellences have been mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were the first to do tabligh of Islam under the instruction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As we know, the Sahaba are those people who underwent so much oppression. They faced so much tyranny in their times. Some of the Sahaba, they were placed in the scorching sand, the desert sand of Arabia. You know, the heat of Arabia is unbearable at times, especially for Ajamis. And these people, the Sahaba, some of them were placed on the scorching sand of Arabia. Boulders were placed on top of them. And why was this done? So that they retract their belief in Islam. They renounce their Islam, say, I don't believe in Islam anymore. But what came out of their lips? Ahadun ahad, ahadun ahad. Just like Sayyiduna Bilal Habshi radiallahu ta'ala, when he was being oppressed and he continued to affirm the oneness, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba are those personalities who sacrificed everything for Islam. Who doesn't know the account of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, when during a particular expedition, Ghazwa, the Prophet alayhi salam asked the Sahaba, give provisions for the battle. Many Sahaba gave. As Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and came with everything in his possession. And when he came, the Prophet alayhi salam said, "What have you left for your family members?" Out of utmost respect, adab. Listen to the reply, subhanAllah. His reply filled with respect for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, "Abqaytu lahum Allah wa Rasoola." I have left for them Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, Allah and His Messenger are sufficient for my family members. And he gave everything in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are those personalities who were tested. But subhanAllah, they came through that test, those trials, those tribulations. And they raised the flag of Islam Most High. And it is as a result of their sacrifices, their service to the deen, that today, alhamdulillah, 1400 years later, me and you are blessed with iman. No doubt, this was the sacrifice of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. If they didn't leave their towns, their villages, their cities to go and spread Islam, Islam would not have reached all parts of the world. But Allah Ta'ala favored them with His mercy. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in are those people who are the best from this ummah. Let me mention an ayah from Surah Tawbah, verse 100. Allah Ta'ala states, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu wa a'adda lahum jannatin tajri tahtaha al-anharu khalidin fiha abada dhalikal fawzul 'azim. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him, and He has kept ready for them gardens beneath which rivers flow, to abide in it forever and ever. Only this is the great success. SubhanAllah, what do we learn? That Allah Ta'ala is pleased with them. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. Look at the wordings of the Quran. If Allah Ta'ala is pleased with someone, then He has achieved the greatest success, no doubt. And here Allah Jalla wa'ala says regarding the Sahaba that He Most High is pleased with them. So who can compare to the rank of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in various narrations, various ahadith, speaks about the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And there are many commands, many pieces of advice for us regarding the blessed companions. Firstly, in one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is mentioned in As-Sawa'iqul Muhriqa. Indeed, Allah Almighty chose me and He liked my companions for me. Then amongst them, He Azza wa Jal made my ministers, helpers and relatives. فَمَنْ سَبَّهُمْ, whoever swears at them, meaning the aforementioned ministers, helpers, relatives, including the Sahaba, of course, فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Then upon that person who swears or insults the Sahaba is the curse of Allah, the curse of the angels, and all of mankind. Hadith does not stop there, it continues. لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ صَرْفًا وَلَا عَدْلًا. Allah Ta'ala will not accept from that person, meaning the person who insulted and swore at the Sahaba, He will not accept any fard worship of his, nor any nafal worship of his. Now you might be thinking, how is this possible? How can someone insult the Sahaba? How can someone speak against the Sahaba? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his vast knowledge of the unseen that Allah had blessed him with, knew there would come a time that people would speak ill of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And it's happening, unfortunately. People who don't have sound intellects, they haven't studied the deen, and they haven't taken knowledge from the inheritors of knowledge. And they will come up with all sorts. The Sahaba were just normal people like us. We can exceed the Sahaba in rank, etc., etc. They'll come up with all sorts. And there are some, ma'azallah, who go to the extent of insulting the Sahaba, swearing at particular Sahaba, cursing particular Sahaba. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, that the curse of Allah, the curse of the angels and all of mankind will be upon that person who is guilty of this, who curses, who insults the Sahaba. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah, Allah fi ashabi. Meaning, continue fearing Allah regarding my companions. This hadith is in Mishkat al-Masabih. لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي. Do not make them a target of your insults after me. When I leave, don't target them with your insults. فَمَنْ أَحَبَّهُمْ فَبِحُبِّي أَحَبَّهُمْ. Look what the Prophet ﷺ is saying. Whoever loved the Sahaba, he did so because of his love for me. He loves me, that's why he loves my Sahaba. وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهُمْ فَبِبُغْضِي أَبْغَضَهُمْ. And whoever had enmity towards the Sahaba, it's because he had enmity towards me. Ma'adallah, this is what the Prophet ﷺ said. Meaning we have to be very careful. We have to be very fearful of falling into such a thing. وَمَنْ أَذَاهُمْ فَقَدْ أَذَانِي. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever hurt my companions, whoever pained them, that he has pained me, he has harmed me. وَمَنْ أَذَانِي فَقَدْ أَذَى اللَّهِ. And whoever hurt me, he has displeased Allah. وَمَنْ آذَى اللَّهِ. And whoever displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, soon Allah ta'ala will seize that person. And if Allah seizes someone, how is he going to escape? How is he going to survive that situation? So in this hadith, very profound, powerful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're told that the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, do not target them with your insults. Whoever loves them, it's because of his love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever has enmity, hatred towards the Sahaba, malice towards the Sahaba, it's because he has malice towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma'adallah. And whoever has any hatred towards the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, he has displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever displeases Allah, what are we told in the hadith? Allah will seize that person. And we know if Allah seizes someone, he'll be destroyed. And in another hadith, this is in Ar-Riyadun Nadira. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who speaks ill of my companions deviated from my path. He's not on my path. His abode is the fire. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they are the shining stars of guidance. In one hadith, we are told, As-Sahabi kan-nujum, that my companions are like the stars. And whoever follows any of them, he will be guided. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in are the superior Muslims from this ummah. Our aqeedah is that we must show reverence and ihtiram towards the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan, the honorable family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know, in reality, the Ahlul Bayt who were at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are companions too. But because in ahadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has singled the Ahlul Bayt out with praise, that's why we use the term Ahlul Bayt and we mention their praise separately. But nevertheless, they are Sahaba as well. But just to clarify here, as Sunni Muslims, as people from the Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, we respect both Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan. This is the most beautiful way. We, the Ahlul Sunnah, alhamdulillah, we respect from the core of our heart both the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan. So with this in mind, let us hear some ahadith which mention the fadail of the Ahlul Bayt, the honorable family members of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is quoted by Imam Yusuf bin Ismail Nabhani rahimahullah. The one who wants to attain a medium, a wasila, and wants to be served in my court, due to which I intercede for him on the Day of Judgment, he should serve my Ahlul Bayt and please them. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? If you want to gain the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ, you want to wasila, then you must serve the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan. You must be respectful towards them. Subhanallah, when we look at the lives of our pious predecessors, rahmatullahi alayhim ajma'in, and even scholars who are present, who have the inheritance of the Prophet ﷺ, when they see somebody is from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they show utmost respect. Meaning, because of his nisbah, because of his connection with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has the same blood flowing in his body, in his veins. Because of that connection, the lineage, the sacred lineage, then he must be respected. We must respect him. And the scholars throughout the ages have clarified this mas'ala, that the Sadat-e-Kiram, the Ashraf, the Ahlul Bayt, have a superior rank amongst Muslims. And we must respect them. We must show reverence towards them. Even if an amal of theirs may be of dislike, we should try and rectify them. But because of their siyada, because of their link towards the Prophet ﷺ, we still show reverence towards them. Another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and these few hadiths that I'm about to narrate now, they are in condemnation of those who are disrespectful to the Ahlul Bayt. And they say, oh, they're just like us. There's nothing special about them. Even though that person knows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's connection with them is what makes them special. But he disrespects them. Look at the hadith. In Tirmidhi, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who fights a war against the Ahlul Bayt, I will fight a war against him. And the one who reconciles with them has reconciled with me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said this. In another hadith, which is quoted in Ash-Sharaf al-Mu'abbad, the Prophet alaihi wasallam said, beware, the one who dies with enmity in his heart for the Ahlul Bayt, on the Day of Judgment, he will come in such a state that it will be written between both of his eyes that this person is deprived from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine that, ma'adhullah. On the Day of Judgment, you'll see someone inscribed between both his eyes is what? That this person is mahroom, deprived from the mercy of Allah. Why is he deprived from the mercy of Allah? We're told in the hadith, he died whilst having enmity towards the family, the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another hadith, which is found in Kanzul Ummal, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who has enmity or jealousy against the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan, he will be turned away with the whips of fire from the pond of Kawthar on the Day of Judgment. With whips of fire, he will be turned away. And that hawd, which is known as Kawthar, the fount of Kawthar, subhanallah, in regards to this, the ulama of Islam have said, the distance of this hawd is a 1 month's full journey, a month's journey. There are domes of pearls at its edges. Its all four corners are equal. Its soil is fragrant musk. Its water is whiter than milk, sweeter than honey, purer than musk, and bowls placed over it are even more than the number of stars. So there's more bowls there than the number of stars in the sky. Whoever drinks its water will never be thirsty. And two channels of water always flow in it from paradise. One channel is of gold and the other is of silver. Now this Hawz-e Kawthar, this pond of Kawthar, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told himself will bless his ummatis. He will provide water to his ummatis. But this person who died or who had enmity towards the Ahlul Bayt, he was jealous of the Ahlul Bayt, what's written regarding him, that he will be turned away with whips of fire from that pond of Kawthar. This is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do we know any people from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? These ahadith are not just in reference to the Ahlul Bayt in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously they had a greater rank. But anyone until Qiyamah who is from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be shown respect. And inshallah, if you show respect for that reason, Allah Ta'ala will bless you manifold. And as you heard in the hadith earlier on, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you want my intercession, then serve my Ahlul Bayt in the dunya. That's a sure means of gaining the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ. Today in the world, if you're nice with somebody's son, somebody's child, somebody's family members, obviously they will show affection towards you. They will provide ease for you. And here, without comparison, if you show kindness, good conduct, affection towards the family members of the Prophet ﷺ, why will he deprive you on the Day of Judgment? He himself said that I will intercede for such a person. So, going back to the topic, the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt, how much love did they have for each other? When Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Afdalul Bashar Ba'd al-Anbiya bit-tahqiq, the greatest human being ever to walk on the surface of this earth after the Prophets alayhi musallam. When he was chosen as the Khalifa, Amirul Mu'mineen, because of his closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know throughout his life, he was the closest companion to the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. He spent those blessed nights in the cave of Thawr with the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. And in various other journeys, he entered Medina al-Munawwara with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we know. And he was ever present in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because of this qaraba, because of this closeness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would take very good care of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan. Moreover, he would say regarding the Ahlul Bayt that the relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more beloved to me than my own relatives. Now this is a big statement. Today, who says that? That so-and-so's children are more beloved to me than my own. Everyone loves their own children more. That's a piece of them. That's your offspring. That's your progeny. But here Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was fanafir Rasul. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. He says the relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more beloved to me than my own relatives, my own offspring, my own family members. And then what we gain from this hadith, from this narration, is how the Sahaba loved the Ahlul Bayt. So there was no enmity, there was no opposition, nothing like that. And then in another hadith, once Sayyiduna Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala were both present somewhere. They were present at a funeral, at janazah. And while returning from there, Imam Hussein felt a bit tired because of the journey, so he rested. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala started to remove dust from his blessed shoes with his own shawl. When he was doing this, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu said, "Don't do this." Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, remember Sayyiduna Abu Huraira is that companion who narrated the most ahadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what did Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu say in reply? This was out of humility, out of humbleness, out of love for the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan. He said, "Fawallahi, by Allah Almighty, law ya'lamu an-nas minka ma a'lam, if people knew of your status, that status which I am aware of, if people knew what I knew regarding you and your maqam, lahamaluka ala riqabihim, and what would they do? They would carry you and lift you on their shoulders. This is what people would do regarding you, O Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala." So the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt had a beautiful relationship, had a loving relationship. They were respectful to one another. They knew each other's maqam. They knew the sayings that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding both the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt. Another example is when Sayyidina Imam Hassan, the elder brother, the waqia that I just mentioned was related to Imam Hussein. Now Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, he states, "Once Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu an sent me a message and said, 'Son, I want you to come to me, to visit me.' So he says, one day I went to his house, but he was busy talking to another companion. In fact, it was Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. He was busy conversing with him. So I was stood outside the door, waiting for permission to enter. And his son, Abdullah bin Umar, the son of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, was also standing outside. We waited for a while and we realized the conversation will be quite lengthy, so we left from there. After that, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala continued his conversation. Sayyidina Imam Hassan says, we left and then a short time later we came back. And this is when Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala said that, 'Lam araka,' I did not see you." And Imam Hassan explained that, "I came, I waited, I saw your son waiting as well, and I thought to myself, if your son hasn't got permission at this moment in time, then how am I going to get permission? He's your son." And listen to the reply of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He says, "Anta ahakku bil idhni min Abdullah ibn Umar." Now, what are you saying? You have more right of permission of entry than my son Abdullah bin Umar. Meaning, I give you preference and priority over him. If you two were waiting, I would give you permission first. You have more right. "Anta ahakku bil idhni min Abdullah ibn Umar, innama anbata ma tara fi ru'usina Allah thumma antum. The hair that we have on our heads, after Allah Almighty, you grew them." This is the hadith mentioned in Tariq ibn Asakir. So like this, there are many, many accounts, dear brothers in Islam, views of Madini Channel, where the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt loved one another. And today, unfortunately, there are some people who are trying to create a different image or portray a different image. I've been mentioning a hadith from Bukhari. Bukhari is the most authentic hadith book after the Quran. It's the most authentic book. أَصَحُّ الْكُتُبْ بَعْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Now there, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is saying that the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more beloved to me than my own family members. What more affection and love can you get than that? And then the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan showing love towards the Sahaba as well. There are countless examples, but time does not permit to go through them. But in short, if you want to safeguard your iman, then you must speak only good regarding the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt. And today, unfortunately, very unfortunately, there are so many avenues whereby wrong information is being spread. People don't invest time in learning what the Quran says about the Sahaba or the Ahlul Bayt, what the Hadith says. They'll watch a clip on social media. And it's your kismet now. If you receive a clip from an authentic Mufti or a Sunni, Sahihul Aqidah, Alhamdulillah, you're fortunate. But if you receive a clip from a deviant, from somebody who has the incorrect belief regarding the Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt, and that becomes embedded in your mind, then that's a danger for your iman. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this hadith was mentioned earlier, that do not make my Sahaba a target of your insults after me. When I leave, don't target them with insults. It's as if the Prophet alaihi wasallam is instructing us, I know there will be people afterwards who speak ill of my companions. Don't accompany them. Don't be with them. Otherwise, if you're with a certain people, definitely they will impact, they will influence you as well. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever loved my companions, it's because of their love for me. They have love for me, they have hubbun nabi in their heart, and now they have hubbus sahaba as well. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever has hatred for the sahaba, it's because they have hatred for me, ma'adallah. They have bughd, they have malice and hatred for the Prophet alaihi wasallam, and that's why they speak ill of the companions. And then the Prophet ﷺ warned and said, whoever has hatred for me, he has displeased me, and whoever displeases me, displeases Allah. And whoever displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, soon Allah will seize that person. And when Allah seizes a person, there's no way to escape. So, afiyah, well-being lies in learning aqidah from authentic sources, and especially the belief regarding the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, the honorable companions, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhuma, Shaykhain Kareemain, and all the Sahaba. Every single Sahabi of the Prophet alayhi salam is a Jannati, is a dweller of paradise, inshallah. And we, 1400 years later, it is not befit a Muslim to speak bad of those who have been given glad tidings of Jannah. Radiallahu anhum wa radu'an. Allah is pleased with them. They are pleased with Allah. That verse is not regarding us 1400 years later. Inshallah, we will also attain paradise by means of the blessings of the Sahaba. But when you study the Quran and you read the verses that were revealed directly regarding the Sahaba, you, subhanAllah, will be left with only admiration for these blessed individuals. Allah Ta'ala says regarding them that رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that they are such people that nothing distracts them from the dhikr of Allah. Tijarat doesn't distract them. Bay' doesn't distract them. We're the opposite. We've got a business deal or something like that, namaz time, we know what would ma'azallah give preference over, many people, preference to. So the Sahaba were not like that. They always gave preference to the religion of Islam, worships that were ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why 1400 plus years later, we have immense respect for them. And we try and make our efforts, endeavors to follow them, as they are the true followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah jalla wa ala enable all of us to learn about the Sahaba, to respect them wholeheartedly, and inshallah we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us entry into Jannah for their sake. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam.
We are calling upon you, Allah.